You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
We are here today with you, just the two of us, because we wanted to come back to our mom and doc roots after a really, really dense episode. So if you haven't checked out our most recent episode all about genetics and genomics with Emily Gutierrez, check that out, because this is what we're going to be talking about. And it will make more sense what we're talking about today if you listen to that first. And I want to give you a heads up that it might be a bit overwhelming. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to come back to our roots with Mom and Doc Talk, so that we could try and do our best to acknowledge some of the emotions that Jody experienced, even listening and participating in that conversation. And some of the realities for people, and then really bring things together from the perspective that we take with our expertise in homeopathy here, and how homeopathy really interplays with genetics and genomics and all of that. So like I said, this is in reference to and a follow-up for that episode. Check it out if you haven't, and be prepared. If you feel a little bit overwhelmed, come immediately to this episode and listen to this one too, because our hope is that we're going to settle things down for you a little bit. Yeah. Okay. So Jody, after we were finished recording, you shared some thoughts from the mom side with me. Do you want to just go ahead and dive in and just get it out there?
Yeah. So I felt like a couple of different things. Avery had actually seen Dr. Gutierrez, and I've had years and years and years to play with her genetic information, going and researching and looking. And so I understand all of that stuff just because I looked into it. But hearing it in a condensed talk, while it's all really good information, I sort of got that same like overwhelming, like, whoo, this is a lot feeling when we were talking about it. And I was concerned that other moms might get that overwhelming feeling too. And also, I felt like what we didn't get to spend a lot of time talking about is the reality of where some of us are in the journey. And, you know, each of our children, it's a matter of figuring out what works for our kid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went that route with Avery. And unfortunately, there was a couple of things that she did well on, but unfortunately, most of the things didn't work for her. I know those things work for some kids, but for Avery, it didn't work. So I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like we just might have like possibly confused and scared moms who are like staring at having to give their kids, figure out how to give their kids like 7 supplements in the morning. And there's a lot of overwhelm when we're in that world. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to bring light to the fact that it can be simplified, and, you know, whatever direction we're going in, there's different possibilities, different routes to take, I guess.
Yeah. I think I've shared this on the podcast before, and I might have even shared it in our last conversation, that one of the reasons that I initially reached out to you, Jody, and had this idea, this concept for Mom and Doc Talk, was after a conference that was heavily genomics focused. Mm-hmm. And realizing that this is just like, it can get so enticing and so exciting to get in and as a provider and as a geek about stuff or whatever, to like want to get in and try and manipulate all of these different pathways and say, oh, we're going to unlock the secrets, because now we know what our genes are doing, and we can get ahead of this, and we can take care of all these problems if we just eat this exact right way and take these exact right supplements, but this brand of supplement, not this brand of supplement, and this much in this, and that's this time of day and not this much. And oh, if you eat this type of food, and then you don't need to compensate as much with this nutrient. And it's just so unbelievably overwhelming, and trying to take all of this stuff that we learn at all these conferences, where we're living in, you know, an ideal world with somebody mm-hmm. who has unlimited funds, unlimited resources, the most cooperative, you know, child who has one parent who works from home or works at home in the home, that has the time to do all of the management of all of these things, and all the food preparation and all the shopping and all of the things that go into making sure that you have the cleanest, healthiest, you know, quote unquote, cleanest and healthiest diet and lifestyle, and like managing all these things, that is just not realistic. And so my my reason for saying, okay, Jody, let's talk and let's figure out how we can translate this and go from, you know, where the research and the doctor's appointments then go into real life. And mm-hmm. like, and not, it was spawned from that because of how overwhelming for me as somebody who was like a genetics geek in undergrad and like loved all of this stuff, loved chemistry and biochemistry and all that sort of thing. So if it felt overwhelming to me, I was like, how would I deal with this if I had a child with extra needs, you know, a child on the spectrum, a child with PANS, a child with like any level of like that just needs extra support, high sensitivity, like any of these things. How yeah. do you take this stuff and you make it work? And so I could understand why you would feel overwhelmed by the stuff that we talked about. And so I just want to back up and say that everything that we talked about with Dr. Gutierrez is so helpful and so beneficial for some people. And it also can be too much for others, right? And so we know that this stuff helps some people. And that's why there's so many people who are doing it. And it's getting so much attention. And I think that there are some people that, you know, you and me both, Jody, we tried some things that should have worked based off of our genetics and we actually felt worse, right? Mm-hmm. Or your daughter felt worse from some of the things that should have been helpful from genetics. And so those, if you're in that category, we're here to talk to you today to say that's great and very beneficial. As I shared in the last episode, I think there's really good information when you can take that and say, what should I not do? Not what should I be taking, you know, what pill should I be taking, but what things should I be avoiding? How should I be living my life? Mm-hmm. And starting from there, because the reality is that, you know, we said in the last episode, homeopathy works on the epigenetic level. And so it helps, you know, epigenetics is not just our genes. It's all of the things around the impact, the expression of our genes. Not all of our genes are turned on at all, like at any given point. Like I got plenty of genes in my body. They're just hanging out, waiting for the right signal to switch it on. Mm-hmm. And so my job with epigenetics is to try and not switch on any of the bad genes and try and promote the good genes, right? So we mm-hmm. do that with diet. We do it with lifestyle. We do it with sleep. We do it with homeopathy. We do it with meditation, things like that, where we can really have an impact on which genes are turned on and turned off. And so I think the most important thing that we need to say outright is that even if you have genetic variants, these single nucleotide polymorphisms that are not mutations, they are normal things in our genome that are just differences from one person to another, and that have varying degrees of functioning, that if you are not taking a supplement for it, but you're using homeopathy, you're still addressing it, right? That there's so many things that we forget that homeopathy is still treating things, just like, you know, meditation treats things, just like diet treats things, just like sleep treats things. Homeopathy is one of the things that you can have that can be addressing these. And Jody, I would love if we shift gears for just a minute so you can just share a little bit about your experience in the things that did help when you were doing the epigenetic and genomic approach, the things that did help that you thought for sure you were going to need to use, and how things are going now, like which things you're still using, if any, and what that whole process was like for you.
Yeah. And so I was just thinking when you were talking, I always say, and I think I even said this in the last episode, that the genetics portion of it was my very favorite thing that we took away. But then I'm like sitting here thinking, well, wait, we don't have to take anything or we don't have to do it. But it was literally the information that we now have, like how I will handle Avery just in general, her diet moving forward, and really, you know, information for her to have going into her adulthood whenever she decides to have children. And it's just good stuff to know, not an issue. And I got sidetracked. What was your question about what did and didn't?
Yeah. So basically tell me what the parts that did help when you were going through it. Cause I know some things didn't help, some things did.
Yeah.
Cause basically when you and I first started working together, if you don't mind me just going and sharing for you, that you were on MTHFR support and you're like, she will be on this until the day she dies. And correct me if I'm wrong, she's not on it anymore.
No, she's not. And that's what I like literally thought. Like I knew that part of the goal was with homeopathy was to get off of stuff. And I remember being so adamant and feeling really strongly the first time that we talked. I was like, no, like we'll be doing this forever. I will be calling her when mm-hmm. every day when she's 30 years old to make sure that she's taking her methylfolate. And so that like, we have this mutation and we are here, we're stuck here and we're going to just have to support her detox system forever and ever. And I thought that that was just permanent.
So, but it did help initially, right? Do you remember what it helped with? I know.
Yeah, it actually did. I would see, so I was doing all the things. I had her on methylfolate. I was giving her as much fiber as I could possibly get her. I was giving her Epsom salt baking soda bath. Like I was doing everything to help move along detox. And if I slowed any of that down, especially the methylfolate, I would see, she would start to get rashes. It was behavioral type stuff that I would see. And then, you know, in her heavier PANS days, I feel like I would see, some kind of those stronger neurological type symptoms. There's like an uptick in them. I could just tell her body was angry mm-hmm. in general. So that was something that I was like religious about doing, all of making sure that I was doing, you know, rubbing her cream on her back. Cause it was back then I couldn't get her to take anything. Mm-hmm. So we were doing the methylfolate that you rub on her back. Mm-hmm. And, I was like, no, we'll do this forever. And I was sure we would do it forever.
Yeah. So was there anything else that really jumped out to you that you know, in your intuition or your, like your mama gut that we really needed to make sure we, helped people understand or things that people might be feeling? You know, we talked about, you know, like whether your kid is even going to take it, whether it's financially accessible, that kind of stuff.
That I think, one of the feelings, I keep wanting to go back and say this, I love all of that genetic information. And even with the years that I've had to like, just kind of look at it, pick it apart, even having doctors explain it to me, I felt overwhelmed in all of that information. And that's one thing, I did feel quite a bit of overwhelm when we were in that kind of functional medicine world, learning all of the information. But then when it came to, okay, here's what we want to get her on, let's start doing this, is it like, that was a level that was so hard for me because, me being my scatterbrained self, keeping up with giving, I mean, at one point she was drinking a drink to help with her gut biome. It was like three times a day that we were trying to get stuff in her. And I was trying to teach her to swallow pills. And, it was, that part of things made managing PANS so much harder for me. And it made it more stressful for Avery. And so there was multiple different reasons. It wasn't just the fact that we tried some things and it didn't work out. It was the fact that it added a lot of stress to my world.
Yeah.
One of my draws to homeopathy was possibly not having to do that, like to keep up with that stressful schedule. And this is really, you know, exactly what happened, is getting into homeopathy and being able to not only stop doing those things, but also not have the pressure of feeling like I needed to do those things in order for her body to do okay, was a tremendous, tremendous relief to me. And it was a whole lot of relief to Avery too, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to constantly hide something in her orange juice or put something in applesauce, and which was making her not like food, which was adding to the problem. So in so many ways, homeopathy relieved the stress that we had from all of that stuff. And I know it's a stress that I hear a lot of moms talk about.
You know, when you and I first started working together, when we first had this concept of like the mom and doc talk, mm-hmm. And like coming together to try and translate it to, you know, where the rubber meets the road and what it's actually like to make this thing work. I didn't have a kid yet. And I now have a 4-year-old, and Avery was 4 when all of this started, when you were trying to go through this. And I have a healthy, relatively easy 4-year-old. And I cannot imagine trying to get like buckets full of supplements down her throat, trying to teach her to swallow pills. So my heart goes out to you even more just being in the space of a mom of a four-year-old right now, I just don't know how people do it, honestly.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful on top of PANS.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, I know that, you know, going through some families find, you know, a thing or two that works well for them. Mm-hmm. But if you're that family that's in that space, that's super stressed out, when I first went into functional medicine, I honestly felt like, okay, we did mainstream medical. Now functional medicine is our next step. And at that time, it felt like that was kind of my only other option. I knew that there was a lot of stuff in what I called functional medicine. And I was like, okay, like we just have to cycle through all of this forever and hope we land on something like this wild combination of something that's going to work for her. And at that time, I didn't know about homeopathy. So I was like super overwhelmed with the fact that we were just going to be stuck in this like wild figuring it out forever. Yeah. And so that was part of what I felt like, you know, was missing in our conversation, our last episode, was the fact that, you know, for us, the answer was very much homeopathy and pulling back and whatever it is that you always say about doing less. Mm-hmm. That very much is what happened. The less that I did with Avery, it's like the more it opened the door up for her body to actually be able to do its own healing work, mm-hmm. instead of me doing things for her.
Yeah. So I just want to make sure we're really clear. We are not anti, you know, using supplements or medications or whatever to manipulate the pathways. If that's what works for you and you're happy with it and you don't have goals to try and stop, that's great. This conversation is more for people who have tried it and it's not worked, or it's not sustainable, or they can't afford it, or any of the many things that can come along with this. Because the reality is, when you're saying, these are my genes and these is what I have, it's realistic to say, I'm going to have to do this and deal with this for the rest of my life. If you're just saying, I just am going to feed the pathway. I'm just going to feed the pathway. But when we can say, oh, but can we help optimize the functioning? And that's really what it is. So homeopathy is not going to change the SNPs that you got, but it can help optimize the functioning that you have and reduce the issues that are going to come up with it. It's not going to ever make it so that somebody who has, like, you know, MTHFR variants that are like the C677T, the 1298, the, you know, double variant, it's not going to make it so that you can go eat, you know, Fruit Loops every day. Like that's probably not going to be part of your life, but you can probably eat things that are not fortified and not have to take something for the rest of your life. If you're avoiding the things that clog up the works and you're stimulating healing so that your body can function as optimally as it is possible for your body to do, it's not something that you're going to have to look at forever. So we're here to talk to you. For those of you who are, it feels overwhelming, it feels too much, hasn't worked for you, or it doesn't align with your ultimate goals. Because a lot of people end up coming to homeopathy because they want to be free from the schedules and the pills and the supplements and all of those things, especially like they're concerned about what's going to happen when their kids are no longer, you know, under their wings and, mm-hmm. you know, off at school, are they going to be taking care of themselves? You know, probably not. I mean, some kids will be really great about it, but probably not. And how long are you going to continue to pay for all their supplements and all those things? Right.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. So just to recap, those are the main things that we really wanted to talk about. All right. So we'll keep this one pretty short, but just to recap for anybody who maybe decided to skip it, if you were like worried about our warning about being overwhelmed by it, the study of genomics, and what we're talking about is these genetic single nucleotide polymorphisms. They are about functioning of like enzymes and like just certain processes in the body. It's not complete knockouts. We're not talking about genetic diseases or chromosomal diseases. We're talking about these normal variants that just alter function. And so this is the MTHFR, the MAO variants, the COMT variants, the CBS variants, things like that, VDR, stuff that has to do with like production of vitamin D, how you handle sulfates and how you handle lots of different things, right? How you handle histamine. So these again, give us information about how our body might process it, but we don't have to be a victim of it, basically, I think is the right word. We don't have to be victim of it. And if we just lean in a little bit, and we, again, I'm such a big fan in life in general about like, what can we take away? Not what do we want to add to our already overburdened bodies, our overburdened lives, our overburdened minds. Not what do we add, but what can we take away to support health? And what can we do to nudge things in the right direction, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we are willing to trust our bodies, that it wants to take care of us, if we take care of it, and that it wants to heal and it wants to get better, you'd be amazed at what you can find when we just let go of some of the control. I feel like I'm going into the thing that like, I think I talked about for a while, talked about in our Facebook group a lot. And it's like this constant theme for me. It's been a constant theme for me since I was pregnant over 4 years ago, that recognizing that the more I try to control things, the more I end up suffering personally, and the more I create suffering for people around us. And recognizing I can do what I can do that's the best, but the more I try and manipulate and control my body, the more I try to manipulate and control my mind, the more I try to manipulate and control the things going on around me or the people going around me, the harder it just gets. And when I just trust that my body, my brain will, given the right stimulus and the right environment, will settle itself down.
Yeah.
And it always does. It always does. And I shared in the last episode, I might just not be as good at the biochemistry and all those things as some of the other practitioners. And if I'm honest with myself, I'm pretty dang smart and I'm pretty good at that kind of thing. You know, my undergrad was in physiology and neurobiology. So the truth is I probably am not as good at as they are, because I reached a point pretty quickly. I was like, but I don't need to do this. Why am I trying to control this? And this, is this really serving what I want in my relationship with my clients? Is this why I went into medicine, to try and give people lots of nutrients to force their biochemistry? Or did I go into medicine to help people heal and recover and live their best life with as little necessary external things as possible? And every time I would have that conversation with myself, when I would start to feel like, oh my gosh, how is this even remotely possible? I'd be in the conferences learning about these and thinking about the people I was going to talk to on Monday. How are they going to actually do this? How is this accessible for anybody? How is this accessible for people who just don't have $1 billion in the bank, yeah, just ready to go, you know? And it always come back to me, well, you've got this really powerful tool with homeopathy. And if you lean in to this powerful tool that truly acknowledges in its very nature that less is more, that we need gentle stimulus, and that the healing power of the body is a miracle, really, in some ways, that we can really do amazing things if we just remove obstacles and stimulate healing. And so I leaned out a little bit from those things, and I leaned hard into homeopathy because I realized that it was truly learning how to do that could have the biggest impact for my clients, and also have the biggest impact for what I felt called to do in the world, which was, again, to help people heal so that they didn't need me for the long run.
I think that that's one thing that, like, we, at least me early on in the healing journey with Avery, like, I didn't understand that we truly do have the ability to change what's going on. Like, I felt like the genetics part was like so huge and permanent. Like, there's no way, like, homeopathy can help with some symptoms, can help with the PAN stuff, but these are genetics. And I think that as moms, we, like, that part, that piece of it feels large and it feels unchangeable. Like, we don't have the ability to change it. And this is one of, like, I love talking about MTHFR because it is like so obvious and evident that Avery had such a significant problem and now she does not have any problem whatsoever. And ultimately, it was her body that did the healing, but we used homeopathy to encourage that healing to happen. So in case no one has ever told you, you absolutely have the ability to change how those SNPs are like the, whether they're flipped on, flipped off. And I didn't believe that in the beginning. I didn't think that we could do that. But with homeopathy, that's exactly what we did with Avery. And I think what we're doing with me too, because I have the same mutations and my younger daughter too. I see all of us, like the way it's impacting the way our bodies function and our overall health, it's changing it for all of us. So mm-hmm. we do have the ability to change that.
Yeah. So hopefully that helped to bring the energy level down a little bit for some folks who might have been a little bit overstimulated. And we always want to bring it back to homeopathy. So what I would love to hear from you guys is if this episode that was taking a dense episode that we have with a guest on a guest expert on a specific topic and having us sort of bring it back in a follow-on episode to talk about, if this was really helpful for you, we would love to hear your feedback so that we can make sure we plan more of these. There's probably some in our last season that we could have done this for and didn't. We tried to connect it all in the same conversation. This one just felt really, really like it definitely warranted a second conversation because of the just how smart Dr. Gutierrez is. And like, you can see all the pathways happening in her brain and like, we can't all necessarily follow along with that. All right. So if you've got feedback for us about this, definitely reach out. Otherwise, we'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye, guys.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for Pans and Pandas, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for pans and pandas throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care and remember, this won't be forever.